Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 84. We'll speak to you on the subject, how to walk in darkness without stumbling. Psalm 84, beginning in verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, which means weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The Bible has a lot to say about darkness, has a lot to say about weeping, has a lot to say about troubles and trials. Job, I think, told us that a man born of woman is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And almost every day, even yesterday while I was on an 18-hour shift in Chestertown, I had two people come in and sit down and talk with me about the problems they're facing. 2 Samuel 22:29 says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Job 29:3, "His candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." Psalm 18:11 says, "He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies." Psalm 18:9 says, "He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." And in Psalm 107, beginning in verse 10, talks about darkness being sent by God. Psalm 107:10 says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So I want to speak to you about the dark times in your life. I'm sure you've had some. And I want you to see that God can keep you from stumbling in the darkness. Now here's a thought we can put out to start off with. God always acts in our lives in ways individualized to our personal needs. God always acts in our lives in ways individualized to our personal needs. I remember when I was younger in the Lord, I used to wonder, how come all this has happened to me, but it's not happening to him? And then I'd see somebody else and I'd say, gee, why is he having to go through that? He's trying to serve the Lord. Here's somebody over here that says he's a Christian and nothing's going on with him. But God always acts in our lives in ways individualized to our personal needs. So here's our outline. Number one, God is in control of all of our dark times. God is in control of all of our dark times. It's amazing how often in the dark hours we tend to act as if God has lost control. Notice this, Psalm 105, verse 28. "He sent darkness and made it dark." So God sends dark times into our lives, and he doesn't lose control just because we think he lost control. And he doesn't lose control when it looks like he has lost control. So let me give you some reasons that God sends dark times. First of all, if we rebel, then darkness is his way of directing us to repent of our rebellion. Psalm 107, verse 11, "Because they rebelled against the words of God, he sent darkness." So first of all, one reason that God sends dark times is because we rebel, and darkness is his way of directing us to repent of our rebellion. Secondly, God sends dark times because we lack faith, and darkness is sent to pressure us into trusting him in dark circumstances. We lack faith, and darkness is sent by God to pressure us into trusting him in dark circumstances. Isaiah the prophet wrote in chapter 50, verse 10, "Who is among you that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." This word "stay" is the same word used earlier, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." it's a word that indicates fixation, like locking onto a star for navigation. So two ways that we looked at here are the reasons that God sends darkness into our lives. One is because we rebelled and need to repent, Psalm 107:11. Second, our faith is weak, and He wants us to learn to trust Him. And thirdly, we have ignored our relationship with God, and He is seeking to reveal Himself to us. We have ignored our relationship with God, and He is seeking to reveal Himself to us. Isaiah 45:7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I, the Lord, do all these things. Have you ever noticed that light is best recognized in darkest hours? I remember years ago flying back from a little town in Tennessee where I had preached a revival service, and I was flying back to Chattanooga. And they'd kept me around longer than I expected, so I ended up having to file a night flight plan. And I took off and was flying. It's amazing when you're up there and you can't see anything. And I set my compass and everything and started flying in the direction, and I kept waiting and kept waiting and couldn't see the light at the airport. And I was looking over at the gas gauges, and the gas gauges were reaching out crying, help, help. They were dropping down. And I said, boy, you know, I don't know where I am. According to my calculations, I should by now be to Chattanooga. Later I found out I had a 30-knot headwind. That'll slow you down a little bit. But I didn't know that at the time. Here I am flying along and wondering why it's taking me twice as long. And so I bowed my head and I said, now, Lord, I'm going to be running out of fuel here pretty soon. I sure would like to see a light. So I raised my head, and sure enough, there was a green light, white light, green light, white light. I said, oh, there's the airport. So I called the tower. They had me on radar, and they said, cleared me for landing. But light is best recognized in the darkest hours. It's hard to see light in the daytime. You see a light, too, you can't see it. Look what he says in Isaiah. Putting two verses together, I pulled them out of two different places, put them together. Isaiah 45:3 and 42:16, I put these two together. I will make light before them. I will make darkness light before them, that they may know that I, the Lord, am the God of Israel. So we've ignored our relationship with the Lord, so He's seeking to make Himself known. He's seeking to let us see that He's there. So sometimes He brings darkness into our lives to contrast the darkness with who He is. So the first thing we look at here, number one, God is in control of all of our dark times. God hasn't lost control because it looks like it. The psalmist said in Psalm 84:5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now, a little thing called Streams in the Desert. It's one of my devotions. I have probably devotions 10 times a day. I heard a preacher friend of mine, Reuben Ewart, preaching recently on a CD that I purchased. And he said, you know what your problem is? And I said, no, Reuben, what is it? And he went on to say, you have 10 minutes of devotions and you think that's devotions. He said, devotions is 24/7. I got to thinking about that, and I said, boy, have we missed the boat on that one? Devotion is your life. Well, in the August night streams of the desert, this quotation comes, comfort does not come to the lighthearted and merry. We must go down into depths if we would experience this most precious of all of God's gifts, comfort, and thus be prepared to be co-workers with Him. End of quote. A songwriter said, I have been through the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrows and pain, but the God of all comfort was with me, at hand to uphold and sustain. So, number one, God is in control of all of our dark times. So don't panic. No matter how severe the dark time is, no reason to panic. Number two, God has a purpose for all of our dark times. God has a purpose for all of our dark times. Now, He always acts for our best interest. We know that from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God also has a plan which is individualized to us in all of our dark times. Now, the larger picture applies to everybody. We can say honestly from Romans 8:29, following Romans 8:28, that he is conforming us to the likeness of his Son. He's predestinated us not to go to heaven or to hell, but once we've trusted Christ as Savior, he's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose of every saved life. However, that's the general picture. The specific picture is individualized to you, individualized to me. God operates with full knowledge of what each one of us needs in the process of conforming us to Christ, and that's not something that you and I know. So we have to trust him in that situation. So here's a healthy warning for us. Don't try to understand the specifics of God's purpose as his conforming process relates to you. That'll run you crazy. Don't try to understand the specifics of God's purpose as his conforming process relates to you. Surrender to the fact that if you love him, he's conforming you to the image of Christ regardless of what he allows in your life. But don't try to understand the specifics because you can't possibly do so. I mean, I fought with God for years over what he was allowing in my life. I even, on one occasion, walked out of the ministry because I didn't like the way God was running my life. Isaiah 55:8, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," saith the Lord. So why try to understand everything? We got this idea that we ought to understand everything. You see, a sin-cursed mind can never grasp the purposes of God's totally holy thought processes. Repeating. A sin-cursed mind can never grasp the purposes of God's totally holy thought processes. That's why he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," saith the Lord. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can't understand this, just do what I tell you to do. So if the dark hours come, trust God to be working in your best interest. If the dark hours come, trust God to be acting out of love towards you. If the dark hours come, trust God to be conforming you to the image of his Son. And if the dark hours come, trust God to be developing you for more effectiveness in your testimony. The songwriter said, "As the earth needs the clouds and the sunshine, so our souls need both sorrow and joy." So God places us oft in the furnace, the dross from the gold to destroy. So God makes no mistakes in his workings in our lives, despite the immediate pain and frustration that he allows. So, in your outline, number one, God is in control of all of our dark times. Number two, God has a magnificent purpose for all of our dark times. And thirdly, God is always present with us in our dark times. Think of that. He is not a localized idol sitting on some mantle or in some decaying temple in a foreign country. He occupies eternity. The lady told me one day, she said, "I don't understand that." And I said, "I don't either." We serve the Holy One. One who is not limited by time, not limited by space, not limited by practice, and this is important, not limited by the human perceptions of him. The songwriter said of his own dark hours, "But the God of all comfort was with me, at hand to uphold and sustain." King David wrote about his own dark hours. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The songwriter said, "When God leads through some valley of trouble, his omnipotent hand we can trace, for the trials and sorrows he sends us are part of his lessons in grace." See, God does not waste our dark times, so why would we? Why don't we look at the dark times as opportunities for learning instead of grumbling? Look at the dark times as opportunity for increasing perception instead of whining. Look at the dark hours as times to grow closer to him and more sensitive to his presence instead of withdrawing and saying, I'm not serving anymore. So God doesn't waste our dark hours, and therefore we should not waste them. His hand is always there. Our problem is we miss it. Because we miss it doesn't mean it's there. The missing is our problem, certainly not His. So number one, God is in control of all of our dark times. Number two, God has a magnificent purpose for all of our dark times. Number three, God is always present with us in our dark times. One of my friends is going through a dark time now. He's been on the mailing list of our church for a number of years. He's a critical care tech, fire chief, and a professing Christian. And he just doesn't understand why he's facing what he's facing. Well, I haven't been able to see him because I've been working 100 hours a week. And so I had some time off, and I said, I'm going to go see him. So I went to the hospital, went to the floor, went to the room, walked in the room, and he said, "Boy, am I glad to see you." And I said, "Boy, I haven't had anybody say that in a long time." And he said, "Come on in and sit down." So I went in and sat down. He's got a very aggressive cancer being very aggressively treated. His body, of course, you know, if the cancer, if chemotherapy can kill bad cells, it can kill good cells. So he's suffering all the different problems of chemotherapy, but he's trusting the Lord during this time. And he said, "I guess I just needed some reassurance." And I said, "Well, I'm here to tell you that God is not confused." I said, "You're facing a very difficult time." And I said, "I would like to say that if I were in your situation, I would handle it by trusting the Lord. But," I said, "I just came over today just to talk to you about the Lord and talk to you about how much I love you and talk to you about our church is praying for you." I said, "You're on our prayer list." And he said, "Well," he said, "my wife brought your letter by from last month." He said, "I told her I really enjoyed that letter. Bring that letter so I can read it again." So he's lying in the Glens Falls Hospital, facing many more weeks of treatment. And very positive in his attitude about the whole thing. Already making plans for us to get together after he gets out of the hospital. That remains to be seen, of course. So God is in control of all of our dark times. God has a magnificent purpose for all of our dark times. God is always present with us in our dark times. Number four, God will bring us out of our dark times. You know, what our problem is we want early release. Right? I mean, every time I'm going through a difficult time, my first response is usually, "Lord, when is this going to be over?" One of the problems with wanting early release is it becomes a serious distraction from the reason you're there. So you have to really rethink a lot of things. Job, a lot of people say, "Well, poor old Job, you know, he really suffered." And of course, a lot of people think that same thing that his friends did. I do have some friends like Job had. But all Job's friends said, "You're guilty of sin, or this wouldn't be happening in your life." And somebody brought that up to me the other day and said that they had read the book of Job through and said, "You know, Job must have really sinned to have all that happen." I said, "Well, you didn't miss the first verse." "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, the first verse says that the reason God allowed him to suffer was there was nobody as righteous as Job on the face of the earth." I said, "It couldn't be because of sin." I said, "God had to have a different purpose in mind." Job, going through all that he was going through, when he gets down toward the end of the whole picture, he makes this statement, which is probably a sign of internal urgency. Job 28:3, he said, it says of God, "He setteth an end to the darkness." But Job also said this, in the midst of all of his troubles, chapter 29, verse 3, he says, "God's candle shined upon my head, and by His light I walked through the darkness." You know, one of our big problems when we're going through spiritual darkness is we want to decide which light bulb to use. You know, we want to decide how much energy to put in the light bulb. God says, "Look, I'll handle the light in the darkness. All you have to worry about is trusting me." I was talking to a friend of mine who's not a Christian, and we were on duty 18 hours yesterday, and we had a lot of calls, and we did a lot of things. We were put in the midst of a lot of crises, and so we were sitting down resting last night, drinking a cup of coffee that he brewed, a pot of coffee. We were sitting there talking, and He said, you know, he said, we faced a lot of problems today. We found a lot of people in a lot of trouble. I said, yeah, we did. And he said, when you face troubles like this, he said, how do you handle them? And I said, well, you know, I don't have to handle them. You don't? I said, no, I really don't. He said, what do you do when you're going through darkness? I said, I just trust the Lord. I said, man, I still have to handle some responsibility. But I said, I don't have to make things turn out the way I want them. All I have to do is trust the Lord, because He told me that by His light, I walk through the darkness. I don't have to stumble in the darkness. The psalmist wrote this. Psalm 112, verse 4, he said, under the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Now, I know a lot of people who profess to be Christians are in the middle of a dark time, and they're acting worse than some unsaved people. Somebody asked me one time, said, why is that? And I said, because their hearts aren't right with the Lord when they enter the darkness. And remember, one of the reasons that God sends darkness is to deal with rebellion. And if you refuse to admit rebellion, when the darkness is sent to correct rebellion, then you're not going to deal very well with the darkness. The psalmist wrote, under the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Isaiah wrote, and this is prophetic of the Savior, but the principle is applicable. Isaiah 42:16, he said, I will make darkness light before them and not forsake them. That Hebrew structure is interesting if you read it in the Hebrew, because it carries with it a double emphasis. I will make darkness light before them and not forsake them. No, not at all. The emphasis there. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that obeyeth His voice, that walketh in darkness? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Dr. Luke wrote also a prophecy of Jesus, chapter 1, verse 79. He says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Jesus said in John 8:12, He says, look, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we're not going to have dark hours? Doesn't mean that at all. It means that you can be in the dark hours and live as if there's no darkness at all. Those who know the Lord will have dark hours, but their faith in God's performance in their lives is going to be their inner light. Their relationship to the Lord will be their light. So every time I enter a dark hour, according to my Savior, I'm carrying the light with me. So Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God commands the light to shine in darkness and hath shined in our hearts. So Christ is in us. That gives us knowledge among the ignorant and light in the midst of darkness. Paul goes on to command in the book of Ephesians, he says, walk as children of light. Why? Because that's how you distinguish yourself from the ungodly. Did you know that it is your demonstration of light in your life that is your greatest witness to the unsaved when they see darkness hit your life? I can't tell you how many times I've had unsaved people tell me, well, I sure wish I could handle problems the way so-and-so does. And the so-and-so they're talking about is a born-again person going through an extremely difficult time whose life seems to be collapsing, but they continue to have a spirit of joy. And this unsaved person says, I just don't know if I can do that. And my response is, well, I can tell you how. I had the joy to sit with somebody the other day in the hospital, another paramedic, and we were chatting, and he said, you know, I just don't know how to handle all this that's happening in my life. He said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. One of my children was killed in an automobile accident. My wife walked out on me, and I've got to take care of the two remaining children. And he said, they've cut back the hours on my job, and I don't even know, with the disease I have, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to go back to work. He said, I just don't know how to handle this. I said, I can tell you how. So I began to open the Word of God and share with him how he could have faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't ask the Lord to come into his heart and save him, but remember what Agrippa told Paul? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, you know, nobody's ever hit me this hard before and made me think like this. Well, keep thinking. I said, you got my phone number, give me a call. I said, you need to trust the Lord. So it's your demonstration of light in your life in the midst of the greatest darkness that is your best witness when the unsaved people are watching your life. Remember, God brought Israel out of Egypt. They never thought it could happen. They were under the thumb of the most powerful nation in the world. Exodus 6. God brought Israel out of Babylon. Nobody ever thought they'd be released from Nebuchadnezzar's grip. God brought Israel out of Assyrian captivity. God brought the Apostle Peter out of jail. God brought Daniel out of the lion's den. And God brought the Apostle Paul out of prison and allowed him to win the prison guard to Jesus Christ at Philippi. So God brings us through and sometimes out of our dark hours. So when we emerge from our dark hours, there should be several things that are true of us. Number one, we should have increased our respect for His grace. The songwriter said, "For the trials and sorrows He sends us are part of His lessons in grace." So we should have increased our respect for His grace. Secondly, we should have some weak areas removed. So He places us oft in the furnace, the dross from the gold to destroy. So we should have some of our weak areas removed. Number three, we should have more potential for fruitfulness. The songwriter said, "Oft we shrink from the purging and pruning, forgetting the husbandman knows that the deeper the cutting and the paring, the richer the cluster that grows." So we have more potential for fruitfulness. Number four, we should increase our understanding of Him. Now, you'll never fully understand how God works, but you can increase your understanding. The songwriter said, "Well, He knows that affliction is needed. He has a wise purpose in view. And in the dark valley, He whispers, hereafter thou shalt know what to do." So we respect His grace, we have weak areas removed, we have more potential, we increase in our understanding of Him, and then number five, we change our perception of darkness. And he says here, "As we travel through life's shadowed valleys, fresh springs of His love ever rise, and we learn that our sorrow and losses are blessings just sent in disguise." And then number six, we learn to let God cause us to sing. A lot of Christians go through difficult times and they try to gear up. Well, actually, we don't need to gear up if we're under His control. If we're right with the Lord, we don't need to gear up. Our singing will flow out of our relationship with Him, not out of our trying to impress someone of how well we handle difficult times. The songwriter says, "So we'll follow wherever He leadeth, let the path be dreary or bright. For we've proved that our God can give comfort. Our God can give songs in the night." So why do you sing? To impress somebody or because God's flowing through you? Let me close with this statement. For all the reasons I've given, all these reasons, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ can walk in darkness without stumbling. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank You for the richness of Your Word. We're constantly amazed at how this book touches every area of our life. And we're constantly amazed, Lord, that sometimes when we've been saved 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, we are constantly learning. And Lord, where there's no need for us to stumble as we walk in darkness, help us to realize, for all the reasons given here this morning, that Your Word is sufficient, that You are sufficient, Your Holy Spirit is sufficient, Your Son is sufficient. We are simply indwelt by and surrounded by nothing but sufficiency for all the dark areas of life. And so now we submit our hearts to you this morning. We open the altar for any who might want to trust Christ or for any who might need to come and deal with something that's been blinding the light, dulling the light. Touch our hearts now, I pray, in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen.